Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're debating on why Brad Kellner of the Wheelhouse says process instead of process.
And program.
Program, process, stadium.
Stadium.
What
my
are
favorite.
You? Are you British? Like, I don't even know what accent that is.
I
love Brad, by the way. He's so nice.
We are big fans of Brad. We just hear things during commercial breaks and our ADD sets in. So instead of getting right into what we should start the show with,
we start talking
to each other about this.
Yeah. Paul, your side chick has left town.
The hotel, oh, my God.
Hotel key has been turned in. The wedding ring is back on. The kids are playing in the white picket fence, and you are an Astros fan again.
I feel like my wife just grabbed my side chick by, like, the hair and started just kicking the hell out of her while she's on the ground. Like,
yeah.
This was a little violent. And the Mariners couldn't score at all in this series. The Astros pitching did a hell of a job. The Astros offense showed up at least in game three of this series in the way I would like to see them yesterday afternoon. This was a nice series victory for them, and it's sort of a reestablishment of order. The Astros continue to own that Mariner ass.
Yeah, and I saw where some people were picking the Mariners to win the division.
I didn't do that
on
even.
Twitter.
No.
So that was never you. Couldn't be me, says Paul.
Those people are probably playing the Vegas odds. They had longer odds, and you get a little extra bang for your buck on that. But this is clearly a team that's very young and is still making progress forward. Meanwhile, I mean, whether it's Justin Verlander or it's the guys in the Astros lineup that they have, which is a great deal of good players, I mean, that's what I want more of. More 7-2 victory.
Yes, 7-2 victory from the Astros to the Mariners.
That was
a great. And you know what? We've talked about the offense needs to get going. The bats need to get going. We certainly saw that yesterday.
You got a hit from like the top guys in your lineup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's your first six hitters. They're all getting hits. How about that?
Yeah, it was a good day for the Astros, a nice way to get some momentum as they continue. And we'll play A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers. JV still got his nasty stuff. I got to tell you, I was shocked that Justin Verlander came back to the Astros in the first place. But if you would have told me that he was going to do this well at his age after the surgeries he's had, this has been a really, really pleasant surprise, especially with everything that Lance McCullers Jr. has going on.
He said before that he wants to pitch into his 40s. That he wants to pitch until he's 45. And I remembered hearing that when I was back here in Houston back in 2019 and thinking to myself, I believe he can do it. There is something about him where he's got this, I think, kind of Tom Brady-esque, I want to prove to people that I am different. And if you're coming back from Tommy John surgery and you're pitching the way that he has to this point, you got to feel good about just the possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen. He's pitching until he's 45. That's a long way to go from where we're at right now. And who knows if that elbow holds up even longer. But yeah, it's great to see that he is back to this form, especially in a year where you want to know that one of these guys is dominant. And I wouldn't call yesterday's outing by Verlander just a masterpiece
or anything like that. It was one of his best.
But it's what you expect out of him. I mean, that's what you have gotten out of him in just about every start this season is just this. You have seen what you have been seeing for years and years and years. And that kind of consistency is massive to have as you continue to figure out when the hell Lance McCullers is going to come back.
Still no answers on that. But Justin Verlander did talk about the pitching staff. And how well they've been doing.
I mean, I think that's how you get on a roll. You know, I think energy matters. I think you can get on a roll as a staff and you see the guy go out before you and pitch well. And, you know, you want to do the same. And that energy just kind of reverberates throughout the clubhouse and throughout your starting rotation, throughout the bullpen.
I feel that Verlander believes in positive vibes. Just based off of that answer.
Good vibes only.
Good vibes only. That's what we do as the Astros when we pitch for brunch. This is what we do. 1 o'clock
brunch.
Afternoon games for brunch.
Mimosas.
That's us. Yeah, although
you
I don't
sound too much like the girls you hang out with.
What's wrong with that?
What?
I'm trying to assimilate into their culture.
Getting to 100 pitches for the first time since Tommy John.
Yeah,
it's a great move.
That part's awesome. And I like that Verlander continuously, unlike a lot of pitchers these days, all these damn millennials, these damn kids, generations, they won't even pitch into the fifth inning, Vanessa. I don't know why I made that accent happen. I don't care. We're rolling with it. I like that Verlander actually pitches the appropriate length of time that a pitcher's supposed to pitch. It drives me crazy that we have all of this management that's taking place. We've talked about it before on this show where you have like some guy named, I don't know, Whitey Horseface McGee, who pitched back in 1903, who was throwing like 193 pitches over the course of a game and goes 30-1 over the course of the season with a 1 ERA. If guys can pitch that long, if full Whitey Horseface McGee can pitch like that, why the hell can't pitchers these days do it? So I like that Verlander continuously is going 7.
He can do it. 9512 on the text line brings up a good point that Nolan Ryan pitched until he was 47 years old. I think he might have been 46.
He was older than you would expect.
Yeah, he was very...
That's for sure.
He was, for a baseball player, obviously 46 is old. So do you think Justin Verlander, I mean, he wants to continue that trend. Do you think he can do it?
Well, he's going to have to eat some Nolan Ryan beef. That's for sure.
You know, the Nolan Ryan beef that they have in the press box...
Well, what are you going to say?
Is... I'm not big on state eating beef inside a state stadium anyway.
A stadium. Say it right. Thank you.
Stadium.
I don't eat beef inside a stadium.
But it's interesting. Shout out to
Wait
Nolan
a second.
Ryan.
Hang on. They have beef in the press box?
Yeah, it depends.
It depends?
Yeah, it Texans? Depends as in on the day.
Okay, fair enough. But Texans, Rockets, can we get some more beef, please? Thank you. I am an entitled media member.
The Texans
I need
press
free
box
food
is excellent and was rock solid when Amy Paulsik was here. Rock solid.
Except for the games against the Jaguars where they would have nachos for lunch.
Yeah, but that was the halftime snack.
Yeah, I want a good halftime snack. I'm sorry.
Okay, are you one of those people
I
that
want
loads their
mignon.
Plate up before the game and halftime? Because let me tell you.
I am an important member of the liberal media. Help. I am a bastion of journalism. Yes, sports journalism, but I need to be fed.
The Texans have excellent press box food. They have voodoo donuts, which are really great. They have
too many
Bluebell
carbs.
Ice cream.
I'm lactose intolerant.
I actually am. So I have salads. They have salads. They have...
I'm lettuce intolerant.
Oh, God.
I just want beef. No one cares about
you
this.
Just Nolan Ryan beef.
I just want Nolan Ryan beef. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. 2284 brings up that Verlander's idol growing up was Nolan Ryan. I think we've seen great stuff from Justin Verlander. I was on a radio station in St. Louis the other day, and they were asking me what I thought the ceiling was for this Astros team and if they can get back to the World Series. And honestly, if they can get their offense going, I think a lot of it hinges on Verlander. Also, Lance McCullers Jr. coming back.
It also hinges on how are they going to fare against the best teams in the American League. And as much as we make fun of the New York Yankees for all the whining that they've done over the last couple of years, the Yankees are off to a really good start. So this might be the year where the Yankees actually are a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs, even though the Astros have basically made them theirs over all of this time, over the 2015 through today run that these two teams have been on. I mean, the Astros have beaten them every single time in every single important moment. But, I mean, right now, I feel pretty confident about where the Astros stand in the American League West. More confident than I felt going into the year. I did think Seattle would be a little closer. I do think the Angels are going to fall back to earth. But it really is about, okay, well, we know how they're going to do against the American League West teams. We've probably expected it. How do they do against these other teams? And that's why I'm pissed off that the season started late, because we would have gotten to see Astros Yankees right out of the chute.
That would have been a good one for sure. Justin Verlander, like we said, reaching 100 pitches for the first time since Tommy John surgery. And he did talk about that after. Did he talk about that? He did talk about that after the game. We have that soundbite.
Yeah, no, it actually is a big deal. It's been something we've been trying to work on and build up smartly. Obviously we're in a 6-man rotation right now, so just trying to get myself back to being able to be in that routine and throw that many pitches. I think the next big hurdle, seeing how I respond from this.
Yeah, so how does he respond after he pitches? Is he going to need longer rest time or whatnot?
I mean,
I think it's a good sign.
They have plenty of arms too. I mean, if Odorizzi can be consistent, you can roll with this six-man rotation for a while. I don't think you have to necessarily go back to five when McCullers eventually is healthy. So I feel like right now when you have six capable starters, you can actually help out Verlander. You can help out McCullers if you are a big believer in the idea of load management, innings management. Guess what, guys? I got to tell you about some of my friends over at Passive Investor
Network. That you hang out with on Saturday night?
No, I'm talking about people, Vanessa, that are going to help you out when it comes to real estate investment.
Really?
Guess what? Guys, I don't know a damn thing about real estate investment. And thanks to my friends at Passive Investor Network, I can actually invest in real estate. And guess what? They're going to help me out. PassiveInvestor.net. And guess what, guys? If you go to their website, you want to sign up for their bus tour because they're going to walk you through essentially how they can help you and your family make long-term investments in real estate at their bus tours. So there's one that's taking place on May 21st. And if you go to pininvestor.net, you can sign up using promo code ESPN for a free registration. And look, this isn't some get-rich-quick scheme. They will give you a five-year plan for your investments that's based off of all your financial goals. Again, this is not something where you'd have to be hands-off when it comes to real estate investment, but this is something where they will do just about everything for you. They are awesome to work with. It is Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. That's passiveinvestor.net.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It is just the world we live in where Instagram, the gram, matters. And people watch who athletes and celebrities follow,
how
unfollow.
Do they keep tabs of this is what I wonder.
It's a good question. I think, honestly, it's probably some teenage kid that's obsessed with the 49ers that points it out and then tells the media, because I can't see any serious journalist sitting around and wondering and looking at who Deebo Samuel follows.
You'd probably have to have push notifications on people you follow liking or following something else, because otherwise you are doing some deep, deep research that I feel like is a giant waste of your time.
It is a waste of time in some ways, but in other ways, like in this case, maybe it's indicative that the relationship is on the mend. So we've talked ad nauseum, as every other network has, about Deebo Samuel wanting out of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. He made it clear he requested a trade. He didn't like his role, et cetera, et cetera. At that point, he had supposedly unfollowed, this is according to USA Today, the San Francisco 49ers on Instagram. Now he has refollowed them.
Good.
And liked a post.
Everything's fine.
About John Lynch saying, because John Lynch went on a radio show, and said that he thought that the relationship could be repaired. And Deebo Samuel liked that post.
Everything's good. Everything's fine. Everything's fine and good. Nothing is wrong. Everything's fine.
So what's in a social media post? Do you think big deal or no big deal?
I mean, it's just the worst that this is how we are learning things about players and their relationships with the teams that they play for. He unfollowed them on Instagram. Oh my God. You know, like that's some big diss. I guess it is in personal life. If someone were to unfollow you, would you be annoyed? Would you be upset? Like, say one of your friends, Vanessa, right, decided to unfollow you. Say I just arbitrarily unfollowed you.
I would call
you
out on the radio.
Okay. And then we would have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're somewhat mature adults here. I'm very curious, though, as to, like, what do they think that this is actually accomplishing other than just getting some really nerdy people who live online,
right,
that find out this information? What? He unfollowed his team that he plays for?
Unfollowing can be good for your mental health and your aura, because you don't want to see, I'm being serious, because you don't want to see things that other people that you have removed from your life or that you deem to be toxic.
You said aura, though.
Yeah, I mean, just for your well-being. If Deebo Samuel does not want to see what the 49ers are posting, if he's quote-unquote over it, good for him for unfollowing. So do you think this means that things are on the mend?
Probably, but it's all about money, too. You know, give him the contract. And they probably had a conversation about his role, but the conversation doesn't mean a damn thing. The 49ers want to make him happy. They got to pay him now before he ultimately gets hurt again, because he will get hurt again just with the way that he plays. He's a violent runner, and I respect the hell out of it, but when you are a wide receiver that is not like those little tiny wide receivers that the Colts had back in the early 2000s that would flop and, you know, drop to the ground after getting 5 yards, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. Yep.
Well, I don't know if I'd say anything bad about Marvin Harrison ever.
He went to Syracuse, by the way.
He did.
Syracuse legend.
Yeah.
See, but I'm saying.
He and Dwight Freeney, right?
But both of those guys. Yes, Dwight Freeney, too. Yeah. There were a bunch of other random Colts that played at Syracuse before. Arthur Jones was there for a bit, too. But there's this thing that with Deebo Samuel, he is not like a lot of these other smaller, fleeter receivers who they give up on a play. Like, Deebo wants to run people over. That's going to get him hurt eventually, even though it's awesome to watch.
I think it is a big deal. I think it is indicative of the fact that things are on the mend. But do you think that Deebo is going to pull a Russell, or not a Russell Wilson, a Kyler Murray, and act like nothing was ever wrong in the first place? Because I think that's the route that he might go. When there's that first media availability with Deebo Samuel this year, I think he looks at reporters and shrugs his shoulders and does the whole, I don't know why you guys were even worried. That was the media.
Well,
it was just speculation.
I mean, in his defense, I mean, he would be somewhat right, because, I mean, just think about the hullabaloo that's been made over it. He definitely created it, but I do, you know, even on the draft weekend, despite Odell Beckham Jr. being somewhat insufferable on social media, him tweeting out, oh my God, Deebo Samuel to the Patriots just to screw with people? Like, that is kind of how things work these days. Start a little bit of gossip and all of a sudden people like us are like, what does it mean? Even though we don't actually have any insight, full knowledge on the situation behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on, but we still have these strong opinions and takes, and as they would call them, narratives. I hate the N-word.
Yeah.
I hate that word.
Oh.
That, well,
okay,
the other
that
word,
one.
Too, obviously.
Yeah, I hate both of them.
But the narrative word.
Our producer, Sean, is like,
listen,
laughing.
You think murder's mean. I hate the N-word. So how about that?
It was just a little aggressive.
Well, it's better than if you were to say, I love narratives, and then say, I love the N-word. That would have had a problem there.
Yeah, okay, see? Like, we're establishing things on this show.
You're on the right side of this one.
Yeah.
The right side of history.
Right.
I've seen that a lot on my timeline the last couple days. Hey-o. Versus Wade.
Classic. Anyway, so sports. Where was I going?
ADHD.
Sometimes
you hate narratives
about the N-word.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The narratives. But it's funny that they will afterwards, as you said, Vanessa, turn on the people talking about these stories, because right now Kyrie Irving's doing that. You know, you're seeing Kyrie Irving
martyr.
He said he's a martyr. You have to die to be a martyr, Kyrie.
It's a good detail that I'm not sure he knows.
I'm living the life of a martyr. Yeah. No, you die. That's how martyrs work. You have to die. Unless you're speaking figuratively, and I'm not suggesting, hey, you have to die in real life. Don't isolate this. Don't aggregate this to add to the narrative. But anyway, like, this is what they always do. Oh, there's nothing going on. And then they gaslight people like you,
gaslight.
Like me.
It's toxic.
It is.
Toxic
masculinity.
I think that Deebo Samuel remains with San Francisco. And when John Lynch was on that radio show a couple days ago, he seemed like he really didn't have a lot of doubts. Meanwhile, could Magic Johnson own an NFL team? The NFL obviously has been pushing for diversity all across the league, as well as in ownership. And Magic Johnson has partnered with 76ers co-owner Josh Harris to pursue the Denver Broncos.
Well, Magic Johnson and running professional teams hasn't exactly gone so well in the past.
Yeah, that meme or that gif, I ain't gonna be there, when he exited the Lakers.
Right. It's different to be in ownership than to be in upper management, but not that different. If I'm the Broncos, I don't want this. If I'm a Broncos fan, I don't want this. Because not only are you going to get potentially someone who doesn't know football, but thinks he knows football, because Magic seems to believe he knows a lot more then he doesn't. And there's nothing wrong with that, but he definitely is one of those guys that you could tell assumes that he has all the answers when he probably doesn't. Like, if you don't have answers in terms of running a basketball operation, then are you going to have them in football? But I can't wait for him to have now not only tweets of the absolute obvious about basketball.
The tweets would be awesome.
Russell Wilson is good at football. My God. Like, I can't wait for that. That's gonna
Russell Wilson, family man. I think that people getting into other sports is always interesting. And, you know, we see on ESPN and other networks, maybe NFL players that talk about the NBA or that talk about other sports. So I don't doubt that he would be good with dealing with the competition and all of that. But I think that it would be strange from the perspective of him genuinely not knowing about the game.
I wonder if he's going to be over the top hands on.
Right.
I would honestly just assume that a lot, because a lot of these guys ultimately are. And I think it's hard for any person in the world to admit that they don't know what they don't know. But I think that Magic Johnson has always carried himself with the confidence that he does know what he doesn't know. And
he's very outgoing about it.
Right. I don't think that's going to work for the Broncos.
7218 says Magic either was or is part owner of the Dodgers. He did well with them. Yeah, the Dodgers have had some success.
But the Dodgers have more money than everybody and don't seem to care about the luxury tax. Right.
It's in LA. It's his wheelhouse. He has, you know, consultants and people in that neck of the woods. Denver's kind of random.
Yes, I agree. And look, I'm not saying that it can't work out at all, but I wouldn't expect it to. And I think bringing up the Dodgers, that's a totally different sport that we're talking about here. You know, you can, if you're the Dodgers have taken on like ridiculous contracts for the sake of taking on ridiculous contracts. Like, remember when they got Mookie Betts, they also got David Price, you know, and Price was terrible at that point in time. And he was $30 million salary. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. We'll take him along.
The NFL...
Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, like they're fine with spending big money and they don't seem to care.
The NFL, as you know, is trying to end racism by putting end racism on the back of helmets.
Well, it ended racism. It's over.
End zones.
None of us see color anymore.
It is expected that any group, because remember there was the Byron guy that owns a bunch of the news stations who's also African American. It's expected that any group that buys the Broncos will have minorities involved. The NFL said in April, the NFL member clubs support the important goal of increasing diversity among ownership. So I do think that, you know, from that perspective, it would be a good thing. You'd have a minority owner in the NFL. There are already a couple, like Shad Khan with the Jags. But from that perspective, maybe it would be good for the league. I just don't know that Magic Johnson is the person to lead that charge.
Maybe. I got to say, though, as far as like the people in ownership maybe being similar to the players there, they're not. Like, they still live in totally different worlds.
That's a good point.
If somebody has lived in the world of being some backstabby billionaire or something like that, I'm sorry, they do not relate to the players anymore. And that seems to be the assumption, is that if a minority billionaire takes over an organization, they're going to help change the way that owners look at players. I don't see that happening. I don't think that's just a race thing. This is a social caste system,
right,
kind of thing, you know? Like, billionaires look down at all of us.
Billionaires. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think that when you look at where minorities are being hired, I think you could also make the argument that it needs to be more middle management, coaches, and all of that as well. But Magic Johnson, possibly part owner of the Denver Broncos with 76ers co-owner Josh Harris. It would be a huge story, and I would love to see the conversations between he and Russell Wilson going back and forth with their corniness, for lack of a better term.
You don't want to see that.
Oh, I want to see it, and I want to see Paul's reaction.
You want to see my reaction to it. Let's be honest.
No, you're the family man. No, you're a family man. No, you're a family man.
Well, the reality is that you're a family man, too. Well, the reality is, oh, my God. Yeah.
No. Always great to get a team win, at Magic Johnson.
Yes.
I'll throw myself off out of that window right there.
Yes, I have no doubt that you
would. I won't even die. I'll break my legs. It'd be better.
Coming up on Vanessa and Galat, it is Cinco de Mayo, and we're celebrating all of the great Mexican food in Houston. We want your opinion on the best
Mexican restaurant in Houston.
And best Mexican dishes. We're going to talk about it all.
We're gonna just use this holiday for content. That's damn sure.
We're breaking it down in a healthy way. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Galant
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, a day in America that people celebrate.
Because we appropriated that holiday. It's ours now.
And I'm not even sure. I'm finding out a lot as we talk during the break right now.
Vanessa has
been... And Mexican
been...
food's my all-time favorite, by the way. So
interesting. Okay. Italian's my number one.
Oh.
Vanessa has been hearing from both Sean Mapes behind the glass and me different facts about Cinco de Mayo, which is 100% the second most appropriated holiday in the United States behind St. Patrick's Day, where everyone pretends to be Irish and gets absolutely lit. Cinco de Mayo is a celebration that is more popular in the U.S. than Mexico of when Mexico beat the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. But there are some other interesting facts. Sean, how did the rest of the war go for Mexico against the French?
Well, at the Second Battle of Puebla in 1863, the larger French force ended up winning.
So the French won the entire war.
Yes, they did.
Cinco de Mayo is based on.
Right. This is like, they won that war. So this was perhaps a futile battle. But hey, look, you got to celebrate the wins when you can get them, even if you do lose a war to the French eventually, which based off of history is not exactly the easiest thing to do. Like, you sometimes have to go out of your way to lose a war to France.
So people don't celebrate it in Mexico.
No, they do celebrate it, but we celebrate it more because we're the worst.
Yes, the biggest celebration in Mexico is Mexican Independence Day, which I don't know if
September 16th.
I was gonna make her guess.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Okay.
That's about the cry of Dolores.
Because I have seen my Spanish friends tweet about that and post about that more. So that makes sense.
Yeah, they're probably mad about it because they wish your Spanish friends probably wish that they still had Mexico under the thumb, you know? Classic Spain.
We do. We are talking about Cinco de Mayo, and I'm learning a lot, most of which I should probably... But you know what? Don't let them fool you. Just so everybody's clear, Paul Gallant and Sean Mapes are reading off of the Cinco de Mayo Wikipedia.
No, we know these things, and
they
don't.
Do not know these things.
I remember part of it from, seventh grade Spanish class.
Yeah.
And I'm with the culture. You're not. It's fine.
Oh, God.
You know, some of us actually care about other people who are different than them.
Congratulations.
Shout
out
to Gente.
Did you know? See... Did you know Cinco de Mayo generates beer sales on par with the Super Bowl?
You didn't know that until you just
Uno
read
Dos Equis, por favor.
During the break.
Donde está la Pacifico?
In honor of Cinco de Mayo, there's obviously a lot of that culture here in Houston.
Yes.
And there's some great, great, great Mexican food, authentic Mexican food. There's some Tex-Mex as well. But we would love to know what you all think. Is the best Mexican restaurant or the best place to get authentic Mexican food? Now, I want to reiterate, the question is Mexican food, not Tex-Mex. Okay, so I know I love Chewy's. I love great Tex-Mex, but talking authentic Mexican food. 713-780-3776.
Now I'm going to expose myself because, I mean, all I know is I go to El Tiempo.
That's a chain.
So? What? It can't be a chain?
I mean, what are you going to say, Taco Bell next Taco Cabana?
Vanessa,
I do like Taco Bell.
Vanessa doesn't
love
think
Taco
Mexicans
Bell.
Can have chains. I think that's like the most cancelable statement that's ever been said on the air. Did I just simplify it for my own agenda to turn the tables on her? I can't say. But El Tiempo on Westheimer.
God.
That's the one I... What?
They have great margaritas, El Tiempo, but that's your favorite Mexican food?
That's the best Mexican food, margaritas. There's sugar and lime. There's some nutritional value in
6116, this is great drunk food. Chachos, very underrated for those that don't know of it by NRG. Great drunk food and fire margaritos. Yes, Chachos is great. Best food is Papacitos. I think Papacitos gives you the most bang for your buck. The portions are huge, but it strikes me more of a Tex-Mex type place.
It's owned by, that's part of a chain too. That's owned by the Papa's conglomerate. Come on. What are you talking about?
Tacos Donalina in Spring Branch says 8029. I'll tell you where I've gone.
Where?
I think it's pronounced Teotihuacan on airline.
Ooh.
Really good. Authentic Mexican food. Teotihuacan. I don't know. I'm really sorry for the pronunciation. But that's my favorite authentic Mexican place. We have Chad,
ooh,
who has called into the show about Mexican food. Chad, what you got for us? Where should we go?
Shout out to Los Cucos down in Bear Creek. Take it from a white boy from out there. But, okay. Yeah, I appreciate y'all. Good morning. Go Stros.
Okay.
Good morning, Chad. Thanks for the call.
Hell yeah,
Chad. Try it out.
Hell yeah. Okay. Is it bad that I care more about the tequila than I care about the food? Am I someone with a problem, perhaps?
I mean, is it bad? Yes. Is it a surprise? No. No offense.
I like mezcal a lot, I've found.
You seem like a mezcal kind
and,
of guy.
And something I've heard from...
Rolling up to the bars in Phoenix.
People who are actually from Mexico have told me, like, yeah, that's like our piss tequila.
Right.
But randomly Americans have started to take that and be like, yeah, this tastes exotic. We're going to take it as our own and turn it into a real big thing.
It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're asking about the best authentic Mexican food in Houston. 713-780-3776. Of course, you can tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. Or you can get at us on the Twitch line as well. We have a lot of great answers coming in. And the most recent one, Lopez in Stafford. Ooh. They also just opened a location in Richmond. That one sounds good. We're also discussing the best, just in general, the best... What are you laughing at?
Text. Caucasian overload. Yeah. Caucasian overload.
We are who we are.
I mean, it is Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, and Sean Mapes giving our best Mexican food recommendations, and our caller was Chad.
That's true.
I can just see how this went off the rails a little bit.
I mean, listen, I don't see color. I don't hear race.
Oh, no.
Everything is the same because we are all humans and we are all living on one planet together. Just because there's a border without a wall and two countries next to each other doesn't mean that, you know, we aren't all the same. You know, like the wildlings and the people of the North in Game of Thrones, they were the same. They were humans too. They allied together against the White Walkers.
I just am so blessed to be in this history class with the most cultured man.
Oh, yeah. The White Walkers were a big problem back in the day.
In America.
Good thing that the dragons came in to take care of them, you know?
What is your favorite Mexican dish?
Well, I mean, I do really like... There was this place I used to go to. This was actually in Florida. And if you put, like, chimichurri on top of steak, hell yeah.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know if that's a specific Mexican dish, but I know that I bleeping like it. Hell yeah, let's go.
I like a good arroz con pollo. Now, I'm super lactose intolerant.
Pollo?
Arroz con pollo, yeah. It's chicken, rice
with
and
chicken.
Cheese.
Oh, that's what it literally translates to.
But with cheese. But with cheese.
Yes.
And then they mix it all together, and it's really good. I like pozole de pollo, which is pork stew.
Okay.
I had some really, really good... pozole de pollo, and I had to make sure that pozole I googled that because I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
Yeah, well, listen,
maybe
I
this
think
segment wasn't a good idea because I'm just showing off that I'm from Indiana more than anything.
This was a bit the whole time. Like we know how to really pronounce these things. Come on,
arroz con pollo is very good.
Arroz con pollo.
When you talk about Tex-Mex in general, I just love when you go to Chewy's or one of the Tex-Mex places, Papacitos, and you just get a huge, outrageously obese burrito with all the toppings on it.
I was going to say, burritos, I feel like, are like the Aiden Hutchinson of Mexican food, which is a funny sentence to say out loud. Right. But it not great measurables, but it gets the job done.
Okay.
Someone texted in Hugo's. I agree. Hugo's is a fantastic Mexican restaurant. I always get the duck when I'm there. It's fantastic. Good spot.
It's a great spot.
Good date spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a good date spot.
Good date
all right,
spot.
Well, we want to know about all of the best Mexican in Houston. So let us know.
I want to try to pronounce more things and see if my Duolingo is really paying off.
We have Juan. You know what? We're going to take Juan.
In just a second.
On Vanessa and Gallant and his take on all things Mexican food celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Hello, Juan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Doing well.
Hey, I want you to try one dish. It's a very unique dish that most people don't know about. It's called mole enchiladas.
Okay.
And when you find the restaurant that can do it really well, it's one of the most authentic and most incredible dishes you can have. If you can imagine enchiladas, chicken enchiladas with a sauce that's you know, it's supposed to be chocolate, but it's not what you think. It's not sweet. But when it's made really well, it's one of the best dishes you'll ever taste.
Mole enchiladas.
Oh, my God. I can't. I can't handle this anymore. You know what?
Juan, thank you.
This was a terrible idea, I realized, because we're getting into the lunchtime hour, and everyone listening right now, they're just probably like salivating as we talk about all sorts of amazing food. It is Cinco de Mayo, too, and you probably want to like get to some of these places before there's a huge line out the door.
Yeah. Well, we're celebrating, of course, as we always do, local restaurants, and we encourage you to support local around Houston.
Take that, France.
All right. Coming up on Vanessa and No Idea. Oh, yeah. Because that was Cinco de Mayo. That's the meaning of Cinco de Mayo, right?
No, the meaning of Cinco de Mayo is the 5th of May.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's what it means.
I don't think you know that, for sure.
It's lost to history.
Thank God for Wikipedia. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, is there anything more painful than getting drilled in the you-know-what? Plus, the start times of these international games have us messed up in the head. That's next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Thursday. We're getting a lot of responses on the text line.
I'm still annoyed with you for saying, like, oh, well, if it's a chain, it's not authentic.
Well, a lot of the time, it's Tex-Mex. There's a difference between Tex-Mex and Mexican food,
listen,
Paul.
We have firmly established our whiteness in this segment.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like there's a difference, but it's not that big of a difference.
Also, it is a pretty big difference.
Also, according to the Cinco de Mayo Wikipedia, Cinco de Mayo is an American holiday.
Yeah.
Texas, last I checked, and I haven't checked recently, but last I checked, is in America.
Okay, hell, so you know what? Y'all can have your Papacitos and El Tiempo. I'm just trying to support
born
the
in
local.
The USA.
So,
appropriating Cinco de Mayo.
8575 on the text line says, me Pueblito in Pearland is great.
That.
That was embarrassing.
Authentic.
Me oh, so God. Bad. We have gotten a lot of ninfas. I like ninfas. If you're ever at ninfas, they have a really great burger. And that sounds weird, but hear me out on this.
It's margarita.
No, it's a fajita burger. So they make the burger with fajita meat, and then they put Mexican toppings on it, and it is really good. I love ninfas. El Toro's in Baytown, says 1223 on the text line.
Okay.
Don Key's in Spencer. Yeah, so we've gotten a lot of good responses.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Tequiero.
I was interested where that was going.
Yeah. yeah, a lot of ninfas on navigation. I live near that one and it's really good. So ninfas is a definite for me. And then Teotihuacan on airline.
I just discovered
there's
a ninfas in Uptown. I had no idea until I was driving home from work the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, okay, this is nice.
The biggest difference to me between authentic Mexican food and Tex-Mex is that with Tex-Mex, like with the Papacitos and with all that, you get huge, huge portions, to where authentic Mexican food is usually like a taco truck or, you know, Mexican-style tacos.
Whoa, does that mean like you're saying like, oh, well, authentic Mexican means you're not going to be full when you're done eating?
There's a difference between Chewy's, which I love, but Chewy's is Tex-Mex. You get ginormous portions and all of that, and then authentic Mexican food tends to have more love and more time and more local put in it and not be as big of portions.
Oh, wow. I figured that was just the hipster thing to do to pander. You know, like, yeah, this is actually authentic. This is like authentic. I honestly would not know what is authentic, because unless you've had like a home-cooked meal of it, and then you would actually be able to determine whether or not it is or isn't.
If you can't tell the difference between Tex-Mex and authentic Mexican food, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
Taco Bell, ninfas, what's the difference?
Yeah, yeah. And Taco Bell is great when you're drunk, by the way.
No,
but
it's not even
it's
that.
Not
even that.
All right, we're going to translate now to private parts.
Translato.
Jose Altuve, last night, the Astros game against the Mariners had a little run-in. It did go viral. There were a lot of different names for what happened, including being hit in the groin, etc. We do have the sound from that moment. Sean, what did it sound like?
1-2 count.
Ooh.
Give him all the time.
Said all he needed to say.
Ooh. Give him all the time.
There's nothing in the world more painful, Vanessa, than getting hit in the nether regions as a man. Nothing more painful.
You said nothing.
Nothing.
Like childbirth doesn't come to mind?
No, not really. Like childbirth, you know, it's just not the same.
Paul, I thought you were the worst before, and you're confirming it now.
What?
You think that getting hit in the gonads is worse than
childbirth? I mean, you feel it from down there
How
all the way up to your
know?
Stomach. Because I identify as having had a child before. No, I wouldn't know that, but I'm just telling you, it's the most painful thing in the world. Because it lasts, and it lingers, and it doesn't have to even be someone
uppercutting you. And the effects of childbirth don't last and linger?
No,
there are women that die in childbirth. Guys don't die when they get hit in the nuts.
You don't know that.
No, I do know that. I do know that women die during childbirth. The mortality rate in the U.S. is actually the highest.
We keep bringing up facts.
Yeah.
This isn't
fun. He hates when I bring up facts. But with all seriousness, hope that Jose Altuve is okay. That looked very painful. You're talking about a guy that just had a hamstring injury, and now he's adding a quote-unquote groin discomfort to that list as well.
I always got a kick out of when Gary Kubiak was the head of the Houston Texans. He would talk about someone having a groin injury, and he would say, oh, he's got a groin. And he wouldn't even say, like, what kind of groin injury. He'd just say, he's got a groin. And he would say it with the accent as well, like he's BK in the afternoons on the wheelhouse.
Program.
You know? A program and a stadium and the groin.
We need to ask BK about that.
But this is an epidemic right now in sports, Vanessa, because the Phoenix Suns are kicking everybody in the nads right now.
Oh.
Whether it's Chris Paul, who is doing it against the New Orleans Pelicans. I forget the guy that he did it to. I think Alvarado is his last name. And then in a couple of nights ago, you had Jay Crowder doing the same thing to a guy on the Dallas Mavericks. Like, this is going really far. And I wonder if anybody seeing all of these stories, even in soccer, a person who got the red card in a like soccer game somewhere internationally decided to go up to the ref and just kick him right in the you-know-whats. Are people going to start to wear cups ever? Will it ever happen? Or are cups one of the biggest amongst guys who play sports? Yeah, I should get it, but it's uncomfortable. I'm never going to get it. Is it just going to last like that forever? Because people are getting hit in the junk.
Jeremy Branham just tweeted us and says, Vanessa saying authentic Mexican food, not Tex-Mex, and then saying she loves the hamburger at Ninfa's. If you're going to get Tex-Mex, go to Ninfa's or Papacito's or Chewy's.
The burger.
There's a lot of great... I'm just
it's
saying
American.
If you want something like that's, you know, made in an authentic manner, you should go to a taco truck, go to one of the smaller places that our listeners said. I think you just have to know what you want. If you're looking for the big portions, the big burritos, the Tex-Mex, you need to know where to go for that. But if you're wanting to support somebody at a taco truck or somebody where you're going to get smaller portions, but it's more authentic. There are several places like that in the Houston area as well.
Smaller portions because it's not more authentic, though. That just because it's smaller portions.
Okay, then you know what? Then where's your favorite authentic Mexican food place, Paul? Go ahead. Where
El Tiempo.
Is it? Nope. Where's your favorite, like, authentic
Ninfa's.
Where it's like a Mexican grandma making it?
Well, I feel like you could...
Oh, you don't know?
You could just say...
okay.
You could just say anything's not
I
authentic.
I said Teotihuacan. On airline, and that was given to me by John Lopez. That he recommended that when I moved to Houston.
I don't know.
John Lopez would know because his last name is Lopez.
Whoa, appropriation. That is, I mean, for all I know, John Lopez, he could be from somewhere else entirely.
No.
He's Russian. That's what I know. That's what I've heard. Anyway, I feel like when it comes down to it, ultimately, you could say something's authentic, you could say something's inauthentic, but in reality, everything is real, Vanessa.
El Tiempo is very good. I like their margaritas more than their actual food, but it's good.
Okay.
As far as Tex-Mex goes, I do like Chewy's.
Chewy's, okay.
Yeah, have you had Chewy's?
I've had Chewy's before.
Oh, God, it's good. 0565 on the text line says, difference is cheese in Mexican food uses cheddar and authentic uses goat cheese or cotija.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Cotija?
Yes, cotija. Keep rolling with it. Yeah. I would say cheddar cheese is awful. And yeah, I also on this Cinco de Mayo, one of the most important American-Mexican holidays that there is, Vanessa saying to go to Ninfa's and get a hamburger, I mean, you may as well have just said that like you were rooting for the Germans.
No,
in the Great
I said
Wars.
If you like Tex-Mex, Ninfa's is a good
place to go. Not even going American, and the fajita, just going German.
And the fajita burger is really good at Ninfa's.
Fajita burger.
And you know
right.
who told me that? Actually, Todd Whitting, head baseball coach at University of Houston, if Jeremy Branham really wants to put a bow on that. It's true. So we've gotten a lot of great responses on that, and we certainly hope that you'll...
We can't even read some of these.
I know. It's so bad. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're discussing the Astros as well as some of these international NFL games and the beef that we have with them. Yes, the authentic Mexican beef that we have with some of these international games. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.